So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus' arch enemy is demonic powers, demons. He's constantly, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, casting out demons. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In the book of John, he doesn't cast out one demon. His arch enemy is the Pharisees. Why? Today we're going to talk a little bit about that. He's going after the religious spirit in the book of John, and always, more so than any cult has ever tried to stop the move of God throughout history, any satanic onslaught or anything, nothing has had headway in stopping the move of God like the religious spirit. More than any cult, more than any attack demonically, the religious spirit has had more headway in slowing down or crushing moves of God that should have gone on. People begin to respond with criticism, and that Pharisee raises up when God begins to move on people. And it's important that we discuss this so that we are able to watch out from being a modern-day Pharisee, but really identify the religious spirit. So let's define the religious spirit for a second. It's a mindset that clings more to a historical Jesus rather than a living, present Jesus. You're there in John 5, 39 and 40. It says this: "You examine the scriptures." This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. "You examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is those very scriptures that testify of me. Yet you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life." So you can search the scriptures, and the scriptures are great, but if the scriptures don't lead to us coming to Jesus, he's saying to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures all the time, but you fail to come to me that you might have life. The scriptures in and of themselves are meant to lead us into an encounter with the Lord himself. It doesn't downplay the scriptures unless that becomes your Jesus. The Bible is not the third person of the Trinity. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Bible. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So how do we make sure that we are getting closer to the Lord himself? Here's another sign of the religious spirit being made manifest. One who seeks to avoid vulnerability and authenticity that comes from receiving high levels of love. Some prefer to be recognized as solid instead of being vulnerable. Anybody? Nobody? Thank you, John. Appreciate that. One who seeks to avoid the vulnerability and authenticity that comes from receiving high levels of love and instead prefers to be recognized for being solid. This is Jesus again speaking about the Pharisees. They, Pharisees, crush people under unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels. We don't have prayer boxes these days and extra long tassels in the natural necessarily, but we do in the spirit. Or people just want to be seen as being pious or religious and often crush people under the weight of things that we ourselves are unable to bear. And so we're constantly adjusting ourselves to say, Lord, am I looking in the mirror? Am I making sure that the judgments or the pointing finger is nowhere close to me? Number four, accusing someone else of having a religious spirit when you are trying to release yourself from accountability. Anybody there? Someone's trying to hold you accountable, a friend, maybe someone that you gave permission to hold you accountable, and they're trying to call you on something, and you go, that's the religious spirit. Well, that is the religious spirit. You just nailed it. Religious spirit, calling someone else, having a religious spirit when you're trying to avoid accountability is the religious spirit. I know you haven't heard that taught very much in church. Someone who has a hard time celebrating when God has chosen to use someone besides you. Anybody? Someone who has a hard time celebrating someone else when God's chosen to use someone else besides you. Sometimes that Pharisee in me raises up and begins to, Lord, why? And instead of being able to fully celebrate someone else who's getting a bump, I tend to process that information through the filter of, why not me? And instead of being completely free to celebrate someone else, that filter says, see, that's why God chose them. And that's a religious spirit as well. The Pharisees had no trouble asking Jesus to perform a sign and a wonder for them. But even after he did, they would still disregard his message. I call it, they want my mantle, but not my message. In other words, someone who's got favor, anointing on their life, you want them to pray over you in part when you're in a jam or when you need breakthrough, but as soon as they start sort of giving you wisdom, maybe accountability, shaping maybe your perspective or wrong perspectives, you go, nope, I'm good, just wanted your prayer. Just wanted your mantle, not your message. Oh no, sorry, you don't get to choose if you just get my mantle and not my message. I usually start with the message and hold off. Often doing that is the very thing that you needed to bring about change anyway, that there was a word of wisdom along with that sign and a wonder. And the Pharisees would come to Jesus and they'd say, do something for us, do a trick, release something, show us a sign. And he would start talking to them and they'd have nothing to do with his message. But oh, did they want to see his mantle? That's where a heart can be changed. Truth sets the heart free, not just a sign and a wonder. I like both, but God says, you shall know the truth. Knowing means experience the truth, and it's that will set you free. The sign and a wonder is meant to lead your heart to a place of pliability so that you can receive life-changing truth. Have I offended you yet? Overlooking the weakness of somebody else. So Matthew 23:24 says it's about the Pharisees. They're blind guides who strain out gnats and allow camels. In other words, you allow these huge things, but you strain out gnats. You are looking after the small detail, and these huge things are strolling right through into the community. Why do you do that? Pharisees seem to not only reject that others besides themselves were able to hear from God, but they especially seem to have it out for women who just happened to get a little anointed or have favor with Jesus. Think about some women who had favor with Jesus. Think about the woman who poured the alabaster box and worshiped at his feet and gave what she had and anointed him. And the Pharisees were sure on that. Man, that was costly. Could have been used for the poor. Using religious rhetoric to stop worship, if you could imagine that. She was worshiping. The room was being filled with the fragrance of her worship. And they thought she should have spent that money on the poor. That's called religion. Let's use religion to say what she's doing is wrong. Let's throw in a verse to say that what this authenticity and rawness that's offending my religious spirit right now. I'm going to throw in a verse. I'm going to say she should have given it to the poor because I'm really offended. That she should have given it to the poor is really just masking that I'm offended that she gets to worship in a place that I wish I could.